You are now listening to Tales from a World Asunder.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Simon. I will be your GM, and I am playing with the lovely Nick.
Hello.
And Louisa.
Hi.
In our last episode, our heroes had begun to make their way from the mostly human settlement of Alpujarra out past the plains and towards an elven village where their friend, I'll say, Ale, told them that they might be able to gather more information about the disappearance not only of Mila's fiancé, Lieutenant Second Class Omar, but also of several men who have disappeared from Camp Ygrek, the army camp, in the past several months, as they traveled the not particularly far distance towards the village, they entered a forest of mostly birch trees. And we ended our episode on Mila noticing from a darker part of the woods far in the distance a small point of glowing light far off of their path. And we return now to that relatively chilly morning in a forest of birch, white and green above, slowly turning to red. As the wind picks up, Mila, you can see it pretty clearly, a small point of glowing light far in the distance.
Does it look like light being reflected, like metallic, or does it look like that is the light source that we're looking at?
It's at such a distance that it would be hard for you to tell. It doesn't stay long. You just see it briefly.
Okay.
You have like enough time to become aware of it, and then something moves. And you can no longer quite make it out.
I think Mila like stops in her tracks and turns and holds like an arm out for Adelaide and says, there's something shiny. It's a little off the path. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it moved. I saw it and then it moved. Maybe. I don't know.
From my experience, if you're going to go after something shiny that's off the path and moving, that's probably
a bad idea.
But yeah. I'll take a look. Can I just sort of. Yeah.
Tell me which one you're using, perception or investigation?
Perception, please.
Can I have Pinky help him?
Absolutely. I think Pinky sort of wends his way over and sort of at eye level with you, Adelaide goes,
it was over in that direction.
Right.
A small mote of magic comes out from one of his claws as he sort of directs your gaze, almost like a laser pointer.
I think as he does that, Razzie, sort of on the other shoulder, lets out a small puff of smoke and fire. And Adelaide sort of squirts and goes, it's all right, Razzie, he's just helping. That's a 18 and a natural 20 for a total of 26.
Okay, fuck.
If I don't see it, I'm going to be disappointed.
No. You spot the little mote of light, and you also notice something about it. It is moving. And that's why it came out of Mila's vision briefly.
Mm.
It's moving in short bursts. You've spent a lot of time watching life move in the wild. You would know that this thing is moving in manners consistent with an animal. As in, you doubt that it is artificial in nature.
Sure. Does it seem to be moving in a luring kind of way, like an attractive kind of way? Or is it moving in a just sort of doing what it's doing and it happens to be bioluminescent kind of deal?
bioluminescent isn't the vibe that you get.
Maybe not bioluminescent, but like glowing.
No, the sense that you get is very much you are seeing it when light happens to hit it.
Oh, so it's a shine rather than a glow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Is it, how big is it?
Very small. And on a nat 20, you also get the sense that this is not entirely natural in occurrence. You know that some beasts, especially out in the territories, have latent magical capacities. And you're not sure what exactly is causing this, but it, like, you get the idea that you shouldn't be able to see this under normal physical circumstances.
Right. But it doesn't seem like it's injured in any way. It's just sort of going about its business kind of thing.
The reason that you're seeing it move inconsistently is because you're not always seeing it. But it's always moving.
Right.
Is it circling us?
It's keeping its distance. But it is moving laterally.
All right. I think this seems like one of those things where either we go off the path and have a world of trouble, or we stay on the path and have a world of trouble. I don't think this thing is, I don't know if it's not friendly towards us, but it's definitely something we're going to have to deal with sooner rather than later. It's following us, is what I'm saying. And it doesn't want to be seen.
Yeah.
The fact that we are seen is probably not a good thing. Or rather, it is a good thing for us. But I do think that if we stray off the path, we are going right into its territory. But otherwise, it's going to find the right moment to attack us. Or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. DM, would Mila know, like, any stories of animals that were imbued with magic out in the territories?
What skill are you trying to use to answer that question?
You know what? I think that Mila thinks a little bit about fairy tales and is trying to get to something through history rather than nature. Nature's not that bad for me, but I don't think that's where her mind goes. I don't think her mind goes to what kind of animal behavior this is.
Yeah, give me a roll.
That's not great. I rolled a 2, I'm gonna take the 9.
Plus 7, yeah. Okay, damn. On a 9, it's not that you don't know anything, it's that it doesn't help narrow it down. You don't have enough information just based on what you've already seen to even know what you're looking for folklorically. I mean,
yeah.
there's plenty of like fey beasts in the Meridian collective unconscious, but nothing springs to mind immediately.
Okay, I think that's fair. I think Mila like thinks about it a little bit and then turns to Adelaide and says, maybe we can try to move a little more stealthily.
I mean, it knows where we
are
already.
So it doesn't totally get any drop on us?
It knows where we are already. It's not going to lose us that easily. We can try, but...
I mean, it's your call. I haven't been in a forest.
Biggest forest this girl's been in is Central Park.
Right. Just stay on your guard for one moment. And he sort of takes Pinky Rodan off his shoulder. You fucking named him that.
Yeah, she holds him like a baby.
He takes Pinky Rodan off his shoulder and hands it to Mila. And goes, just give him one moment. And he reaches behind his back and pulls out his shotgun, opens it, checks the casings, checks to make sure that the shots are in there, closes it again, and just sort of takes a couple of steps into the bush and goes, friend or foe?
The light disappears.
I said friend or foe. Still holding his shotgun, he's going to sort of take it off his shoulder, where it was sort of propped a little bit, and put it into a slightly more relaxed position. All right. For now, Mila, just be on your guard. We'll keep walking, but I don't think this is the last we've seen whatever this is.
As you guys continue through the forest, you begin to hear, like, more sounds and signs of life, basically. More random animal noises, more bird song. You're definitely getting further away from, you know, an army camp and a town full of people who hunt to supplement their diet. And eventually, you come to a clearing. It's pretty large, and it's very clearly mortal-made. And you start to see buildings. In this case, made out of birch bark. Relatively small houses and other kinds of buildings. You start to see smoke coming from fires. And you start to see people.
Mila's gonna ritual cast comprehend languages on herself as we're walking in.
What does that look like?
I actually think it comes out as nervous muttering. She opens up her spell book and starts reading a notation in the lingua arcana that comes out as sentences in different languages, languages she speaks, languages she doesn't, to tug the universe in the right direction and open up her understanding.
Conversely, she sticks her tongue in the peanut butter jar of languages and just sort of swirls it around a bit, like trying to get the last yogurt out of the cup.
You start to turn heads as you enter what you recognize to be the village. You see most people here are very clearly elven. Long, almost deer-like ears, and like very long black hair, mostly dressed in, well, actually pretty similarly to most other Meridians, but augmented with things that strike Mila at least as looking very foreign. You see that the whole village appears to be like made of this birch bark, and it occurs to you that had Ale not given you instructions on how to find this place, it might have been very difficult to locate it intentionally.
Adelaide will look for a trading post or general store of some sort.
The houses are erected sort of haphazardly, but they do lead to a kind of central square where, like, you see many more people are congregated as you're sort of entering the village. So you head, I guess, towards that sort of central marketplace.
Exactly.
You start to see a handful of uniforms.
What they look like?
Green and white.
Soldier uniforms.
Yeah, these are soldiers. You actually see a couple of people that are very clearly elves in some of the soldier uniforms. And Adelaide puts together pretty quickly that this would have been like trading an extra coat for something.
Right.
But you see also that there are clearly some soldiers here from the camp who are here sort of doing some business. You see that the way that the sort of central market is set up is all outdoors. Things are laid out on these large bark cloth carpets. And you see that, like, a lot of the soldiers are having trouble in their uniforms, kind of squatting down to take looks at things. And you see that essentially things are being handled by discussion. There's very much haggling taking place. You start to hear kind of the clamor of elvish and common. And actually, you hear a few words, Adelaide, that you would recognize as being in Trader Pigeon, as in many places where people communicate who don't share a native language but do share an economic interest. There's sort of a half and half language that has developed as a way of making sure that everyone understands what each other are saying. You also see that many of the villagers are wearing garb that would strike Mila as being very outdated or old. Not even just in the sense of out of fashion, but not from this century. I think Mila doesn't have any trouble putting together why this is. They are dressed this way as a part of religious prescription. I think a similar feeling to a modern American walking into an Amish town.
Yeah.
A lot of men wear the kind of traditional skull cap that's associated with the faith of the Triple Goddess. And you see that, like, sleeves cover all the way to the wrist. Pants go all the way down to the ankles.
I do think Mila tries to, like, see if, like, people that are, especially people that are dressed a little more rigorously, are looking at her in any type of way.
You would feel stares, but not in a way that, like, you are particular. More in the sense of, we don't get a lot of visitors other than soldiers.
Cool.
Adelaide's going to sort of walk the market a little bit and look for anybody that seems to be selling. He's looking for two things. An herb gatherer or like a forager, essentially, or anyone that has munitions.
Yeah, hit me with an investigation check.
I'll help.
Okay.
Same number. Investigation is an 11.
Mila is not helpful. Is how we're going to play that.
Doesn't hinder, but doesn't particularly help either.
Yes.
Tough, but fair.
On an 11, I'm going to say, depending on what you're trying to find, there's definitely people that are foraging. In terms of looking for munitions, I think you would very quickly piece together that is one of the few things that soldiers would get in a lot of trouble if they traded.
Yeah, I figured. Okay. Then I'll go find a forager who specializes, or someone who seems to be dealing with roots and things like that, and tubers and things. That and or vines.
What is Adelaide looking for specifically?
Looking for two things. One, looking to see what the natural sort of useful things are of the area and what could possibly be used for some of his own magical abilities, especially in terms of like ensnaring things and what resources there are on hand for tripping people, like what kind of vines are native to the area for restraint and things like that, but also people who deal in things under the earth that would probably be closer to the earth and probably be looking around in the dirt, because they would very likely be the first people to notice if there was trails or blood on the ground or things like that.
Yeah, you locate a trader who's essentially selling food, but in the form here of tubers, mostly, that you see are similar to Dahlia tubers, which seem to be pretty popular as a foodstuff here. And you would also know that that's true of a lot of sort of places that are more forested on the other end of the frontier. You see that the person doing the selling is a shorter, again, very dark-haired elven woman who looks up and goes, Elvish Meridian?
Elvish is fine.
Ah, welcome. You wish to buy?
Yeah, a bit, but I'm also looking for information. I'm trying to know about the lay of the land. I've got a friend that was out here not too long ago, found himself in a bit of misfortune, and I heard rumors drifting back away about what word would they use in Elvish for Carlog? Would I know?
Karlog is actually related to an Elvish word, or more accurately, a corruption of an Elvish word into Meridian. I'm not sure if Adelaide would know exactly the proper Elvish term in this region.
Sure, but I wouldn't know necessarily because it might be an Elvish word, but that might not be the word that they use for it, kind of thing.
Exactly. You can definitely try it and see how it works.
While this conversation is going on, Mila's like behind Adelaide, like smiling politely but friendlily, if that's a word. And just before it starts, she's gonna whisper to Pinky,
"Get off of me, walk around the market inconspicuously. You're just a little dragon taking a look at the curious wares. Ping me if you hear anything."
I say this to him in Lysandry.
Okay.
In my mother tongue.
Yeah.
I guess. And I like whisper this to him and then like let him onto the ground to just like kind of walk around like a little, like a cat, you know? Just cruising and listen, and I stay to listen to this conversation.
I'm looking for rumors about, I'm not sure if this is the right word or not, but the Karlog.
You see her face do a thing that you're not entirely sure what to make of. She kind of starts a little bit and then goes,
"Your friend, what was his misfortune?"
Not returning.
"This misfortune befalls many who enter woods they shouldn't."
"I'm aware. I'm trying to see if I can fix something about that, and so I can tell him to not enter woods that he doesn't know nothing about again."
Mila nods emphatically.
"He went out past the ridge," she says, and gestures in the direction that is accurate. You know that that is the direction. "He went out past the ridge. That's right?"
Right. Yeah. That's the way. I know he's a bit stupid, but...
You see she smiles a little bit. With her hands, she sort of moves her fingers back and forth across her face. Mustache like so.
Adelaide sort of turns back.
Mila nods.
Mm-hmm.
"He was warned. And we had thought he had heeded the warning."
"He's a bit of a stubborn ass sometimes. I'll ask you this. Is it worth trying to go after him? Or is he dead already?"
"It is tough to say. We do not go beyond the ridge. Soldiers should know not to go beyond the ridge. If you will, you have been warned."
I appreciate that. Might I ask a question about the Karlog? Is it a natural part of the ecosystem? Or is it invasive?
She seems to be slightly confused by your question.
Mm.
"That is its dwelling."
"What, the ridge, or..."
She nods.
Right.
"It was long asleep."
"What woke it up? Do you know?"
She nods at the sort of gestures with her chin at the soldiers in the marketplace.
"Right. Why am I not surprised? All right. Well, it hasn't been coming out of its territory, has it all?"
"It wanders."
Right.
"Best not travel at night."
I understand.
And then she says something that catches you a little bit off guard. "Moon is right tonight."
I think Adelaide laughs at that and goes... "Right for what exactly?"
"Right not to travel at night."
"Understood."
Mila, you hear a ping in your head from Rodan.
"Mistress, there is someone watching."
"Show me."
Adelaide and the woman you are talking to, you would both see Mila's eyes go an inky black.
Whoa, that's... All right. Sorry about that. I didn't know that was going to happen.
As you begin to see through Rodin's eyes, you see standing in the door of one of the birch bark houses, fixing his coat back up, you see a sandy-haired soldier whose gaze you can see is fixed on the spot where you and Adelaide are talking.
This is the third guy, right?
This you would recognize as Sergeant Bellancourt. Adelaide, as Mila's eyes go dark, the woman you are talking to, you see her face turn with shock.
Adelaide quickly goes, I'm sorry, she's one of them cops from out east.
We know.
She means no harm, I promise.
Give me an insight.
16.
She knows someone else that can do this. And that person does not stir positive emotion.
He'll go, I'm sorry if me or my companion have caused you any discomfort. I have one last question for you, if I may.
I have told you much.
I'm aware, and I'm very sorry if I've intruded upon my welcome. You've seen this before.
I.
Who?
Give me a persuasion check.
Persuasion, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Bastard one.
A dirty, dirty one.
She no longer meets your gaze. I wish you safety.
Right. Can I just also get a couple of those dupers there?
What do you offer?
Adelaide will go, how about a tenth of a senior?
She makes a small bag for you, and you slide over the coin. You see that these tubers are literally a dime a dozen.
Thanks. And he sort of ties it to the side of his pack. He puts his hand on Mila's shoulder and goes, all right, freak show, let's go.
For the rest of that conversation, by being in Pinky's eyes, does Mila see anything worthy of note beside that he is, like, looking at us?
I think Pinky has sort of moved himself to where he can see into the house, and you see the person that Sergeant Bellancourt was talking to. Roll me a stealth check for Pinky.
That's a 2 again for +4, so 6 total.
So what you see as Pinky sort of sidles his way so that he can see the inside of the house is an incredibly pale elf, as in paper white skin and bone white hair, sort of dressed in Meridian garb, very ostentatious pistol holster. Give me a perception check.
Through Pinky?
I think it's your stats through Pinky because you're seeing through his eyes.
Okay, but Pinky does have advantage on perception on sight, hearing, or smell.
This would be sight, so you have advantage.
Okay, so the dice I trusted rolled me a 1, but that's going to be a total of 16.
You notice 2 of the many things that you might have noticed about this elf. 1, you see a badge fastening the figure's cloak. The insignia on the badge designates them not only as a magic user, but a war mage. Someone who, unlike Mila, has actually promised their magical talents to the service of the Meridian military. And as the elf turns, seeing Pinky, you see that while one of his eyes is a very normal shade of turquoise, the other one is inky black. You see he grabs the pistol, fires a shot. What is Pinky's AC?
13.
That is a natural 20. Pinky is destroyed.
He disappears in a puff of pink smoke.
As he is hit, you are hit square between the eyes as you're in Pinky's vision, and you snap back to consciousness.
Hmm.
Hey, Adelaide?
We gotta go.
Kind of. Yeah, it's not particularly good. No, let's keep a low profile.
What's going on? Your eyes went all black and then...
She, points at him and, messages him about this and, tells him that she was having Pinky go around investigate, see if he saw anything suspicious.
And then he saw the other sergeant, the one that didn't talk to us. And then there was an elf with him with one magical eye, and he's definitely a magic person, and he shot Pinky in between the eyes. So I need 10 minutes to remake him also.
Right. Okay. I think actually for now, whoever that is doesn't seem to be quite so loved by the locals here. Maybe I'd say keep Pinky away for now. It just may not be the right time, the right place. But I've got some information. I think you're right about staying low, though.
Let's find a place.
DM, is there like a tavern or a meeting place around, an indoor meeting place, like a restaurant or something?
I don't think you would recognize any of the buildings that have formal like walls as being businesses. This place isn't set up for commerce. They just occasionally have a market. This is very much a village in the sense of everyone here is mostly concerned with their own household.
Is there a place like selling out a drink or something like that?
Yeah, you would see that there is a place where a sort of elderly elven gentleman is pouring cups of birch beer out of Meridian manufactured glass bottles out in the open, but under a canopy.
Let's go blend in.
Yeah, there. Absolutely.
Yeah. As they go to sit down, he'll take Razzy, speak to him in Draconic, and go, just keep a lookout, and if anyone comes with intent, just come back to me. Otherwise, I'll find you by that pole over there in a while.
Razzy hits the single nod and then shuffles off.
He's so cute.
I don't know if you've ever seen, dear audience, a pangolin shuffle. It is so good.
Mila turns to Adelaide and so she's sipping the beer and under the cup messaging him.
I mean, I'm curious about the magic elf that people don't seem to like, even though he shot my pet in the face, but what is that guy from Campy Greg doing here? That's suspicious to me.
I mean, we know that they come here. I don't think him being here is particularly suspicious.
No, he was watching us.
Well, that's suspicious maybe, but the fact that he's here, I don't think that's... If anything, the fact that we're here is the suspicious thing.
We're just looking for someone that the army does not want us to find.
Right. That's suspicious.
Yes, but that means it's suspicious that he's looking at us as...
No, it's not. We came into camp looking for someone that his superiors don't want anybody to find, and we started asking questions, and now we're showing up at a place we shouldn't be if we're, not trying to be on the bad side of the army.
It's a free country. It's not even the country. We're in the territories right now, but it's a free land.
Adelaide genuinely laughs at that because it's free for who?
I'm just trying to say I just think that we should keep an eye on our backs. I don't like what I saw.
What was that thing you did with your eyes?
Right. Sorry. Yeah, I meant to tell you. I do that. I guess I just forget about this sort of stuff sometimes. I told Pinky to tell me if anything was wrong, and he told me something was wrong.
and I was seeing through his eyes. Because he wanted to show me what he found.
Right.
And it was the stuff I told you about.
Right.
For a moment, I guess if you were to get into the details of it, the minutiae, what was really happening was a displacement of my ability of sight with an arcane ward.
Mila, I appreciate it. It is all going directly over my head.
Okay. Well, if you ever want to know more about this stuff, you can ask me.
I think the best person to talk about that kind of thing to would be Snap.
You want me to teach Snap some spells?
I don't, actually. I think that would be a terrible idea. I think he would be overjoyed to hear about it. And if you ever want some work on my ship, you could teach him some things, because, frankly, it's concerning what he's getting himself into, and I'm not prepared for it.
If there's anything I can do to help, I guess I'm pretty good at trying my best to make sure I know enough so that other people don't get themselves in trouble.
For now, I think you just keep a low down on the magic thing.
As you guys are at this little stand, I guess we'll call it, are you attempting to not be noticed by people around you?
Yes, as insofar as we're trying to blend, I think, more
yeah,
than...
Yeah, I think it's less of a trying to actively be stealthy and more a just trying to blend in with the crowd.
Stealth. That says I do have pink hair and horns.
And I am...
7 feet?
6'5".
Oh.
With tusks.
So, I think this would then be a persuasion check. I'll say with advantage, but it is a group check.
Thank God for the advantage.
Persuasion is going to be a 22.
Damn.
Yeah, you see that you're undisturbed as the sort of bustle of the market runs around you.
I'd also like to just keep an
eye.
Yeah, we both want to keep an eye out just for...
I want to be looking at the house specifically, like, now and again to see, like, if there's anyone coming in or coming out. The house where the elf and the sergeant were.
You do not know where that is.
I don't?
No. You can see through his eyes, but you weren't watching him while he got there.
I would like to just keep an eye on the crowd looking for anybody who seems to be searching for someone, specifically Blondie or the elf.
If I don't know where he was, I want to see if I can, like, context clues it a little bit to be like, oh, do I see any houses that have, I mean, you said they were all of birch bark, but do I see anything that looks like the surroundings that I saw when I was in Pinky's eyes?
Mila, give me survival, and Adelaide, give me perception.
I am going to take my 14 portent, and that's what it's going to be.
I also rolled a 14.
Nothing comes up in particular, Adelaide, as you're sort of combing the area. You see that it mostly seems to be... You've given a pretty wide set of parameters, but the two people you're looking for don't show up. And you don't see anyone who seems to be not sort of going about their business in a normal way. Mila, I think it becomes obvious pretty quickly that Pinky made it quite a ways away. If you wanted to find this place, you would have to go looking.
I think Mila, like, conveys that to Adelaide, and it's like, I don't know where they are. Do you want to...
You want to find these people who are clearly not happy with us?
Honestly, I wanted to listen in and see if they have any information about how they're coming after us that might be worth having.
I will say this. From what the elf was saying, it's either the best not to go out and find this beast or the worst. In terms of a survival perspective, it is absolutely the worst. In terms of a finding it, it's gonna be the best. If we go out tonight, we are very likely to run across it. Even more likely if we're very, very, very lucky to be able to find its den while it's not there. However, it also comes with a very high risk of actually running into the thing and dying. It's a hunting night. Now, I don't know how well you can see in the dark.
Yeah.
All right. How well can you survive?
Less well than I wish.
Right.
I'm not great. I've never had to, like, keep a track, keep, like, on a trail or anything, if that's what you mean.
It seems to me that our options are go out there and be hunted on our own terms. Maybe trying to find the thing. Or stay here and be hunted on their terms.
Mila gives a slow smile and is like looking down at her drink and says, I think there's something to be said to being a little unpredictable. If they want us, they should come get us.
I will warn you, I cannot guarantee that you will not die. In that case, I cannot protect you from your own stupidity. And I'm not here to protect you from your own stupidity. I can try and keep you safe from the natures of the wild, but you gotta listen to me. You willing to do that? Stay quiet when I tell you to stay quiet. Move when I tell you to move.
Yeah.
Then we won't have a problem.
I do think that you're right, that this will get pretty dangerous. I will only pay you for as long as you want to go around.
Pay me for as much as you want. And with that, Adelaide turns around. I'd like to go to the person serving drinks and go, in Elvish, go, I suppose you were... hear a lot of rumors, know a lot of the folk stories around here.
You see, the guy serving drinks is this elderly elven guy. You see that he doesn't make direct eye contact with you, and it takes you a second to realize that he doesn't see anything.
Well, I suppose folk tell me what they tell me. But
I'm wondering about two things, actually. I'm curious about what stories you might have heard about the Carlog that haunts the area, or hunts the area, I should say, just over the ridge.
Stories? No stories. It's a beast. It hunts. It kills. These are not stories.
Sure. Does it have a particular pattern in its killing? Does it leave any distinguishing marks, do you know?
Give me a persuasion check.
One. Bastard again.
Incredible.
You see his brow furrow and he goes,
you ask strange questions of an old blind man.
Sorry. I had one more strange question if you'll indulge me. There's a gentleman who might live around here, or who I've seen around town, and they've piqued my interest. One of them mage types, an elf. I know you might not know people by description, but seem fairly tall, magic eye, very pale.
He hasn't had a drink here.
All right. Well, I appreciate the information. And I appreciate the drink, too. It's a good drink.
I wish you safety.
He'll go wander off and continue to ask the same questions of several people.
Give me an overall charisma check as you berate strangers about the local fauna.
That's a natural 20.
Yeah, boy!
Minus two.
I think on that natural 20, you realize you've kind of been asking the wrong people. you start having a lot of luck asking these kind of questions when you start talking to hunters. These are really the people who make it their business to know how beasts move. You know that this thing is active kind of in waves. It's better to hunt a couple days after a day like today or a night like tonight because animals will be scared away from the ridge. So like there's a lot of full snares the day after or the day after that. I think beyond that, you would know that like most of the people who have gone missing have been soldiers almost entirely. And the general assumption and the general belief is that that's because they don't know sort of the taboo around the ridge. The other thing you learn that I think was let onto by the woman you spoke with earlier, this is a very new thing. Like, it's been known that the ridge was kind of a boundary of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
But the bodies are new.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Additional question. Do I get the sense that there is any kind of cultural significance to this creature?
On that 20, yeah, you would. I think this is the kind of thing that is understood as the natural result of people going where they shouldn't. This village exists at the edge of the forest,
mm-hmm.
and I think the understanding that a lot of these hunters would have is, of course, this thing is attacking now. We know not to disturb it. But I think also on that 20, and I know the 20 is for charisma, but I think as you're putting the responses together, there's one little thing that doesn't add up. They're all describing this as something that started relatively recently.
Yeah.
The camp has been there for a while.
That's true.
And I think that incongruity strikes you as you're asking people.
In which case, once he sort of gets that sense, he's going to see if he can't find one of the soldiers. He's going to sort of look around and see if he can find someone of decent rank.
The one last thing before you go find someone on that. One hunter, under a little bit of duress, admits to you it's not just people who go out past the ridge that get attacked. In other words, this thing has clearly been active beyond where the legends say that it's supposed to.
Right. It's been expanding its territory.
As you keep asking people, they're talking about this thing with unease. And I think when you hear that it's not just people who have broken this kind of taboo that have been attacked, that unease makes sense to you.
He's going to go to the soldiers then and ask them about whether there has been any new within the past, say, few months. However, you know, in recent memory, any new missives, or has the leader of the camp been given new directive to push outwards? He's trying to pin down what might be the cause of this new surge in activity from this creature, with the hypothesis that it is something new that the soldiers are doing.
I think you talked to a couple white coat officers, so people who are somewhat higher up. And I think none of them have received new orders. There's not anything. Like, if anything, this state of affairs, and again, on that 20, you're getting people to actually talk about this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're far enough away from camp that they feel comfortable even admitting that this is happening. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's strange because nothing else has changed.
Okay. Last question. This is a recent development. Is this a Omar is possibly the one that triggered this recent, or it's he was just maybe one of the first?
I would say you receive, like, too many conflicting accounts.
Okay. but it does the time frame work? How does the time frame work out in that sense? Is how recent is recent? Is it 3 months? Is it 1 month? Is it 2 weeks? Like, what's the...
You would know that, like, taking the average, this seemed to have popped up, like, 2 to 3 months ago.
Okay, so Omar probably wasn't the first.
Give me a, just raw intelligence check.
13.
You're not getting any kind of, like, clear dates that line up with anything that seems significant in the moment. But I think you do have those dates in your head of, like, this is when he went missing.
So I actually know when Omar disappeared, in quotation marks. I know when he stopped being encamped, and that was on the 21st of Frimara. How long ago was that?
Today is the 19th of Nivoza, the month after.
So it's been almost exactly a month.
Gonna start making a conspiracy board for this.
It is beginning to be evening. The sun is setting.
While Adelaide is walking and investigating, Mila's gonna stay under the canopy and take the time to ritually resummon Pinky.
You see that the purple smoke coils up on the ground and the pseudo-dragon reappears.
She says, hey, I'm sorry. She, like, picks him up and gives him a little scaly pet.
You see Pinky just sort of makes telepathic hangover noises. Just kind of a cosmic,
Mila gives him, Mila scratches him under his ear when he does that. She's like, oh, you poor thing, you poor boy.
Have a glass of water and an Advil, you'll feel better.
As the sun sets and the village is painted a beautiful, like, pink and white and red, what is sort of the move?
Adelaide is going to make his way back to the tent to find Mila, scooping up Razzie along the way, giving him under the chin scritches and a little bit of jerky to snack on, maybe a couple bugs as well, and goes over to Mila and goes, Hattie, I've found some interesting things.
Okay.
How handy are you in hand to hand or can you use your magic to...
Yeah, I kind of took the time to prepare for that.
Right, that's smart.
So, yeah, I can help.
Our best bet then is to try and not get killed by this thing. But if we do see it and it sees us, our best defense is probably just going to be in trying to kill it right there. And then there's a certain fear and suspicion around town about this this beast. It's been hunting outside its territory, and it seems to me that the locals wouldn't be too upset if it went missing. But I also think that when we get back to camp, if we ever get back to that camp, we need to have word with the supervisor of the camp, and also probably with your friend, Omar, what's it?
My fiancé?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, when we get back, things are going to happen.
You see, Adelaide, Mila's eyes briefly fill with menace.
There's a little bit of like, okay, I'm not going to poke that bear right now. Let's just go.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Are you stealthing out of the village?
Yes.
Yeah.
Roll stealth.
Can Pinky help me by, like, causing a little distraction elsewhere?
He can certainly try. Roll with advantage.
Thank God for advantage. That's still really bad. I rolled a nat 1 and a 12. So that's going to be a total of 13 for Mila.
It's going to be an 11 for Adelaide. Didn't roll great.
You're not slick.
You proceed out of the village. And you make your way upwards in elevation, slowly climbing up toward what you have heard identified as the ridge, which is a crested hill that the forest just continues up to the top of. You hear that a lot of the noise of the village and that the animals that you heard before starts to die down. You know, very cinematic. We have like a single owl hooting in the night, and you feel the temperature start to drop significantly.
We're sort of on the ridge at this point?
You're headed up towards it, and you're very nearly sort of cresting it.
Okay, it's at this point that Adelaide sort of stops, takes Razzie down off his shoulder, puts him on the ground, and goes, "All right, now is the point at which we are quiet. And keep your eyes open, but follow Razzie. Keep his pace. And we'll just try to stealth forward, basically."
Absolutely. What's the stealth roll?
Mila got a 14.
That was a 17 from me.
Sorry, 15, actually.
So 15 and a 17.
Yeah.
Can I get perception checks? They can also be survival or investigation if you are trying to more specifically locate stuff.
I think Mila is gonna specifically try to investigate for like any signs that they are being seen, that they are being circled, that they are being tracked, that basically someone is watching them. So she's like looking at the fine print.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Adelaide is going to be looking for tracks, markings, fresh kills.
That is a survival.
I got a 23 investigation.
I also got a 23 survival.
Oh yeah, look at us.
Oh my god. Okay. I'll answer the survival first. Traveling up above the ridge for about an hour, you eventually come across a place that looks like it's been used as like a... There's all the marks of a big thing slept here. And you see like a small pile of like blood and food residue. On a 23, you do not see any bones.
Okay.
And you don't see any tracks leading from the place. What you do see on a 23 leading back down the ridge are boot prints coming up and then going back down the same way. Same boots.
Does it look like they've done this more than once? Or is it just one track?
You just see one set of tracks.
I have two questions, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whether there's a gauge of how big the creature is, and what the footprints look like. Are they like humanoid size, or are they a little bit bigger like an orc? Mm. And whether maybe there would be a way to identify if they're military boots or something like that.
I mean, boots are boots.
Boots are boots.
And you see that they are like humanoid sized.
Hey, Simon?
Yeah?
What's the state of the moon at the moment?
On that 23 investigation, as the clouds break, you see a full moon, a full 28-day cycle. And on that 23, you feel the same gaze that you felt this morning, Mila, and you see off in the distance, but not as distant as before, a single glowing point of light. Now glowing, not sort of golden, but glowing white.
There's something watching us again. The same thing from earlier.
All right. Just be on your guard. More so than you were. This thing might be able to reason with, but tonight might have been absolutely the wrong call.
Do you know what that blood is?
Pray. Hopefully not us. Let's just keep going.
On that 23, as you say pray, you think about the fact that there's no bones. And I think on a pretty high roll, Adelaide makes a connection. This isn't food that was hunted. This isn't food that had bones in it when it was eaten. This is meat that was left here.
Oh, shit, shit, shit.
Is someone feeding this thing? Is that why there's boot prints?
Yeah, yeah. I have a couple of theories, but, let's just be careful. We're not alone, and I suspect that it's not alone either. I suspect it knows what we are, where we are, who we are. Let's just keep going. Our best shot is just trying to not catch its ire and find Omar.
Where are we going now?
This way. And he'll lead them further into the ridge, sort of trying to see if there's any sign of where these boot prints came up to the ridge, basically to the meat pile, and then left. There's no sense of markings of any other kind that he found, right?
Nope.
All right, in which case, actually what he's going to do is he's going to try and lead them to a viewing point, a shadowed viewing point, where they can sit and wait and watch.
All right, give me stealth rolls.
Fucking hell.
Worse. 13.
9.
You both post up in a little shaded area, sort of near this place.
He's gonna take out his shotgun as well.
As you both kind of hunker down and you take out your shotgun, you hear a click behind you and you feel, Adelaide, a cold piece of metal on the back of your head, and Mila, you feel a knife emerge on your throat. You both hold it right there. You turn around, I fire. Says the voice of Belencourt, the sergeant you'd seen earlier in the village, the third man from Omar's squad.
Fucking hell.
Put the gun down.
Adelaide puts the gun away.
On the ground.
You are testing my patience.
And you mine.
And he puts it on the ground.
Is it him holding us both?
You do not know that.
No, okay, cool.
You are currently not in a space where you can turn your head. You see the light at the other end of the clearing, and then you see it disappear.
Mila, like, looks at Adelaide. Can she, with her hand, like, point at him to message him and be like, do you want me to be quiet, or do you want me to try something?
Give me a sleight of hand.
That's a 14.
You pull your somatic components in your pocket.
Just do what he says for now.
Okay.
Did you come here alone?
Yes. Well, no, actually. We thought we were alone, but you've given us the pleasure of company.
Don't get smart. He flips the knife so that the sharper edge is right up against the base of your chin, essentially.
What do you want?
What do you know?
About the wonders of the universe, the forest.
The knife edges up into your throat and begins to cut skin.
I actually don't know what you want to know.
Why are you here, smartass?
I'm looking for Omar.
What do you know?
I know he was out. And in a bout of something, went further than he should have and got taken away.
You feel the knife come out from your neck and then plunge towards it. As Belencourt says, then you already know too much. As this is happening, you hear a stick crunch. And then, in quick succession, a roar, a blood-curdling scream, the weight of some massive creature hitting the earth after an immense leap over your heads, the weight of a much smaller body, wetly crashing to the ground directly behind you.
Adelaide will grab the gun and spin the fuck around.
You see a pair of severed arms and the lower torso and legs of a man. If you had not known this had been your aggressor, you couldn't identify him by his remains. The creature is nowhere to be seen. You hear heavy footfalls deeper in the forest.
Tales from World Asunder is Louisa Zanardi as Mila, Nick Sturman as Adelaide, and Simon Ivchevich as the world falling apart around them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
This tale from World Asunder is brought to you by Quartz Cool Components. Quartz Cool promises quality components for all your spellcasting needs at prices that can't be beat on this side of the great blue. We are dedicated to serving our communities in all their magical needs. Quartz Cool Components, making the world a better place, one spell at a time.